This is From Cincinnati. Join in as we chat with people who have Cincinnati chili in their DNA, whether they live here now, grew up here, or made the Queen City their hometown, as they share their stories and the remarkable ways they are impacting the world. Everybody has a story, but not everyone is from Cincinnati.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of From Cincinnati. I'm Joe Wessels. On today's show is David Meister. If you don't know his name, I wouldn't be terribly surprised, but he is a fashion designer, and he's a really big deal out in L.A. He is a fashion designer to the stars, and he grew up, believe it or not, in Coleraine, right across the street from me, but I did not know him. Now, kind of knew his parents. Their kids are all, he's 12 years older than me. He's the middle kid, so everybody was a lot older. I kind of remember older kids being there, but I was just a little tyke when he was in high school and then off to college and then off to go and kind of change the world. So, David Meister, you went to DAP, the road kind of he talks about he had a lot of interesting ups and downs along the way, but he is now considered one of the top fashion designers in the world and definitely a fashion designer to the stars. So had a great conversation with him. I'd like to also thank the 21C for allowing me to use space at their hotel downtown to record with him. He was staying at the hotel, and it worked out perfectly. So thanks again to the 21C Museum Hotel in downtown Cincinnati for their hospitality. Be sure to visit FromCincinnati.com and like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at From Cincinnati, and we are also on Instagram. Be sure to hit up that subscribe button as well, too, and leave us a rating so others can find out about the show. It does help us tremendously, so appreciate that. Also, I'd like to thank B Shields. He is a local performer, for allowing us to use his music on today's show. So as I said, again, I had a great conversation with David Meister, who was in town for the holidays to visit his parents, my old neighbors out in Coleraine. And we had a great conversation about the fashion world and kind of how he has become pretty much a leader in that, and who he's met along the way and the different clients he has and everything like that. So with no further ado, here's my conversation with Mr. David Meister.
When I say 5-1, you say 3, the Queen City, also known as Cincinnati. Los Antifa, we're even Seven Hills, we even have a catchy song.
I like the place, girl.
Our geography is hills, bluffs, and low ridges. Purple people, suspension, big back, rent sprints, and up the bridges. Our version of fun is very silly, we're even considered the world's capital of chili. With the chocolate, allspice, cloves, and cinnamon. Empress, gold, star, Dixie, Price, so Camp Washington. Hold up, let me check the time. Gather your friends and family in the skyline time. And if you want to make your move for some dessert,
I think it's so funny. Did I tell you how I kind of came across your name?
I guess from living across the street from my parents. I don't
know. No, it really wasn't that. It was sort of like this, you know, I had this idea for the podcast, and I was just kind of like Googling some people from Cincinnati, and then I saw Meister, and I'm like, huh. And then I, you know, was looking at reading this. I'm like, that couldn't be. I mean, Meister's not a totally uncommon name. And then I Googled, I think I went and looked to see, because your mom were Mr. and Mrs. Meister.
And Rich and Darlene.
Rich and Darlene. But I know is it Mr. and Mrs. Meister. Yeah. And so I went on the auditor's website to see, like, I haven't seen it. My parents sold the house like 15 years ago. And I thought, where, you know, like, what are their names? So I go on the auditor's website, and I was hoping they still own the house, and they did. And I was like, oh, so I Googled their name, and then there was a picture of you with your mom and dad, like on the red carpet somewhere. And I'm like, wait a minute, who is this guy? And you guys were like so much older. I would say so much older, because we were just little kids, but you were just old enough where you were like doing your own thing. And those little kids across the street riding their bike in the circle and, you know, weren't, you know. So then I'm like, I can't believe this guy who grew up across the street from me is doing like all these amazing things. And he's from Cincinnati. So what, tell me, so we don't really know each other, but you look like my neighbor from when I grew up. Which is your dad.
Which is my, yes, I look like my father.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I grew up here in Cincinnati. I went to the University of Cincinnati's DAAP program, fashion. And then I got out. No, I'm joking. but I knew I always was very into clothing and fashion.
Even
and
as like art. A young person? Or
yeah, and I was very opinionated and had a very big mouth. And I'm sure you probably heard my mouth at one point or another living right across the street.
Maybe.
But.
Don't kind of get jump on the microphone just a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I'm not used to it. Okay.
That's okay. I'm sorry, it's not the most comfortable race.
No, either. It's fine. And I'm just blanking now what we were just talking about.
So you like you said you were loudmouth.
Loudmouth.
And I probably heard your voice, but
probably did. And so no, I studied fashion and it was gonna be that or brain surgery.
Really?
Really?
Oh really?
Huh. Honest to God.
So you're smart.
Yeah, I am.
You did pretty well in school.
I did very well in school.
Where'd you go to grade school? Did you go to St. John's?
I went to St. John's on Dry Ridge Road for grade school. I went to LaSalle for high school.
Okay.
But
Catholic. You're definitely raised
Catholic. I was raised Catholic. Yes.
Yeah. Were your parents pretty strict Catholics?
No, they're religious Catholics, but are they strict Catholics?
Yeah. No, okay.
I don't think they're
strict. They always just seem like nice people.
They're really cool people.
Yeah, and they always like tolerated me coming over with my little, I was selling crystals from I went to Colerain Elementary because, I don't know, we were Catholic. My mom was a nun, by the way. Dad, I don't
know. No way.
She wasn't. I don't. She doesn't like me telling me people.
Your mom was a nun.
And I said to
somebody. With a ruler?
No. She always likes to say she never took her final vows. And she's going to kill me for saying this. But she said she never took her final vows. She goes, oh, I was engaged to Jesus. I didn't get divorced. I called off the engagement. I didn't get divorced.
I like that.
So she said
engaged
she got in there.
To Jesus.
She was engaged to Jesus at the Mount. She got engaged at the Mount.
That's kind of cool.
And she said she got enough religion in those 2 years she was in the convent to last a lifetime. So we were like members of St. John's, but we didn't go all the time.
I got it.
We were kind of like C&E. We call it Christmas and Easter Catholics, when the place was full. But my grandfather did the festival the years ago. Ricky and Tony's
dad. Ricky and Tony.
Tony's dad, who remember, died in a car accident. Do you remember all that?
Yeah.
That's interesting because he died a year and a half before I was born, so I never knew him.
Yeah.
And I just knew my grandma, and then she remarried and then moved to Springfield Township. So you kind of remember her, too. That's interesting.
I remember her. We used to hang out and play.
Yeah, did you really?
And yeah, I'd been to their house when we were growing up. Tony and Ricky were the two that I would say because of Jimmy Hoffman, who lived right next door.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
No kidding. Jimmy Hoffman, that's right. Who,
and Rick, Jimmy Hoffman still lives down the street.
Yeah, he does.
Further down off of Dry Ridge.
Yeah, he does. And Rick still talks to Jimmy. And I call him Jimmy because that's how I remember.
I know, but all these Rickies and they're not that anymore. It's like Rick, Jim, Tony. And Jenny, I was very close with Jenny Hoffman growing up.
I didn't know Jenny.
Jenny was the youngest.
Did she drive the Trans Am or something like that? She had like a...
I don't know. They all had, a lot of them had very cool cars. I don't know.
Okay. But yeah. Because her dad was like an electrician and all that kind of stuff. And we were just little kids walking across the street. So your mom and dad were nice. And you grew up there in Colerain on Little Dry Ridge Road. The little sort of rural place that it was in Northwest Colerain Township, almost like, and the Rumpkes lived across the street from us.
Rumpkes.
Did you know Tina and all those Rumpkes?
Well, Steve went to school with me.
Did you know his wife, Margie? They lived down Margie Wolf.
We were really good friends, our whole family, with the Wolfram family.
Oh, I love
that. She lived right up the street, Margie. Yeah, everybody knew everybody.
Yeah, well, Margie babysat Shelly, my sister Shelly and I forever. I love Margie. I'm friends with her on Facebook now.
She married Steve.
She married Steve, which is, anyway. So here you are, when do you decide you're going to go to DAP and...
I probably decided I was going to DAP probably when I was starting already in high starting to go to high school. Yeah.
So you kind of knew.
Kind of knew.
Why didn't you go the brain surgery route?
I don't know. I guess at the moment I thought this was going to be more glamorous. Wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. My mom used to say she would run the business and I would be the surgeon.
Your mom said that?
Oh, yeah.
No
kidding. My mom loves
I don't know this side of her at all.
My mom loves all this medical. She could sit and watch open heart surgery and find it interesting.
Oh, really? I see. I'd be on the floor passed
out. A bag of chips while she's watching. I could, too. I love that.
Oh, really?
Love that.
No.
I would draw my own blood if the doctor let me.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating.
They asked me one time at the doctor's office, what are you allergic to? I said, plastic, rubber, cloth. And they were like, wood. They're like, what? Are you serious? I said, I'm just looking around to see what you got here. Metal.
So I started college. It was rough. I liked it a lot, but everyone thinks fashion's all glamour and a cakewalk. And, you sit and you sketch and it's not at all like that. The business has changed a lot, but I mean, it was like kind of going to med school.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be in the classroom 40 hours a week, 19 credits a semester. Excellent program.
Yeah.
I stayed close with a lot of my
teachers. Is it respected around the world? Because you're And I'll do an introduction to this to tell people you're like, you know, I'll say for you're a big deal in the fashion world.
I am.
Okay.
I just always, when people refer to it, it's like, you're a big deal in the fashion world.
So what do people say about DAP? I mean, because this is like, is DAP really like the thing that we all think it is here in Cincinnati?
The DAP program is actually excellent. And now it's got other initials added on, I believe. It's like design, architecture. But yeah, the fashion program, you know, Betty Heck started it 100 years ago. Uh-huh. And she's still alive in Florida. And I saw her not too long ago. And when I was there, I mean, they really built the program up to a pretty amazing stature. And we had Jessica Lazarus, who was of the Lazarus family, taught there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We had someone from London who had taught there, Mrs. Shaw. I remember all my teachers. And one of my really good friends' teacher, her name was Margie. She actually just passed away. Mm-hmm. I was here for her funeral. But it was an amazing program. And I think what really worked well for the program was the fact that they had it set up. We had to do internships.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were on the quarter system. So four of the internships that I did were in New York, which was excellent.
Wow.
Because when you graduate, it's not like you're packing up your bags and like venturing off to the big city for the first time in your life. So it was great because they were good experiences. Dan Skin, I worked at a costume place. I worked at a really big famous.
Well, because Federated was here. In Cincinnati, which is people don't know that. It was McAlpin's and they bought Macy's and now that's why Macy's.
Oh, it's changed so much.
But that's like Cincinnati, Macy's. You don't really think that that's the connect. I bet it is.
It is.
I mean, they say they have their headquarters in Cincinnati and New York, but they.
Federated, yeah, it's here. But remember, if I don't know if you remember, but it was Shillitoe's.
Oh, yeah.
Then it was Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
We've lost, there was Pogue's, which was
Pogue's.
A great store.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't remember about Cincinnati, actually, they had a lot of very high-end women's stores. They had Getting Jenny, which was...
Yeah, I remember. Down here on 4th Street, wasn't it?
Unbelievably beautiful store.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like Versace even had done specials for them. I mean...
Really?
Oh, big.
And they're just a local Cincinnati shop?
Getting Jenny.
Really?
Henry Harris was like a Getting Jenny.
So...
Flawless.
Why is that? Because of Federated or why was...
No, I just think...
Why was it in Cincinnati and not
I think
San
there
Francisco
was,
or LA
I
or
think
New
there
York?
Was always a very fashionable clientele here in Cincinnati. I think that all changed. I don't think people dress nearly as much anymore.
Okay.
I really don't. And I think because it was beautiful stores. Those were really two really well-known in the whole country specialty stores for being beautiful and people wanted their merchandise in there.
And this fashion is an art, right? I mean, do you think of yourself as an artist?
I don't believe fashion is art.
Really?
I think it can be,
mm-hmm.
but in a lot of ways, it can
Are
be
we
artistic.
Talking about like
it can be artistic, but I think art is something you hang on the wall. To me, a beautiful garment, if it's not on a body, it really doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because it's a three-dimensional form.
Okay.
So you can have a beautiful dress or gown on a hanger,
mm-hmm.
but if it's not on a body, I don't think it means, because it's meant to be a three-dimensional form that moves.
Yeah, and then what do you do with stuff like meat dresses and stuff like that?
Well, you get great press.
Is that part of the game then too? Is that
I think like anything, you know, with the award season coming up, you know, the red carpet, you know, mm-hmm. who are you wearing, and the amount of press and exposure you get by who's wearing it, it's huge, huge. The hits and now it's all social media driven, but it makes a huge difference. Huge difference.
So you go to DAP and then you go, and I'm following this right, you go to New York, right?
Moved to New York.
Uh-huh.
And then, I worked for a little polyester blouse company.
Polyester.
I'm speechless because it was quite an experience. You know, their idea of a bugle bead was like a chip of white plastic, so.
Am I bad that I don't know what that means?
Well, a bugle bead is... You know, think of Cher's flashy costumes and all the beads on it.
Okay.
Those are really glass. They're light, but they're glass. And
I
reflect.
Thought it was like a sequin. It's not a sequin?
No, sequin's round. Bugle bead's a little rectangular, too.
I'm going to learn some stuff today, right?
And this was literally, though, it was just like a chip of plastic instead of really shine. And it was just bad.
Okay, it's bad. That's bad. See, you know, and I have to say, I was very self-conscious coming in here about what I wore today.
Always a
you say no, like no?
No. You're good.
I mean, I wore taco socks here. Is that
tacos,
bad?
Well, those we would have to discuss. The socks probably would have to go, but everything else, you're good.
All right. And I literally was thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be like with a fashion designer today. And I think I do okay, but then I don't know if I'm doing Cincinnati okay.
It's all good. Just the taco socks go.
Okay. I'm trying to bring my personality a little bit, like, because it's like the goofy side. Don't. I love it. Okay, girl. Okay. Lose the taco socks.
Lose taco socks.
Okay.
So,
my girlfriend would probably say the same thing, too. So.
I'm sure she would.
Yeah, okay.
Let me see. So,
sorry. No, I totally made
you. So then I actually, then I went into Bodywear. I went to Danskin. And I had interned there once before, and that was a really cool company to work at.
So what is Bodywear? Is that
Bodywear, like Danskin when it was big? It was the leotards you exercised in.
Okay.
And back, they also were the ones that did the wrap skirt and like the leotard that people would wear like disco dancing or like in Studio 54. So they started that whole kind of lycra dressing craze.
Okay. Yeah.
That was even before me. That was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But then it was like the workout clothes, like people think Jane Fonda workout.
Yeah, right.
Leotard and the leg warmers.
Right, right.
So it was that kind of thing. And what I liked about that, A, it was a great environment. I worked for really good people. But that I learned a lot about fit and stretch and and what stretch can really do when you're fitting a garment. Because in a lot of ways, for a long time, I was known for work doing dresses and gowns that had stretch of some kind or knit. So that kind of really was the background and basis for what I ultimately did.
Gotcha. So then what was the transition to LA? And
well, let's see. I actually, talking about Macy's, I worked at Macy's Corporate for several years.
What were you doing at these places? Were you doing design?
I was in design. I was an assistant.
Okay.
Like, eking my way up the ladder.
Is it brutal? Kind of. Is it
it's
like
kind of brutal?
It is. Is it like? Is it like the Devil Wears Prada? Kind of like that. Kind of.
Well, there are elements out there like that. Yes.
Okay.
I've experienced
really
many, but yes.
They tell you you're going to be nothing, and you know.
Well, I've worked. Yes, I've worked for people who literally would look me in the face and blow cigar smoke in my face and say, "You're a goddamn motherfucking piece of shit."
Really?
Yeah.
And then
on a regular basis, nothing. You sit there.
Uh-huh.
You got to have thick skin. The first time you're like, oh my God, oh my God. Uh-huh. And after the fifth time, it's like, yeah. You just kind of blow it off.
Uh-huh. And so, like, okay. And was that already in your personality? Were you just.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
What kind of kid were you?
I was. In the public world, I was very kind of shy and quiet.
Uh-huh.
But the real me, like I said, always was very opinionated and had a big mouth.
Okay, yeah, you said that. Okay.
When I went to college and even started in the business, I was shy and quiet.
So let's go. I mean, go back. Your brothers and sisters, right? I remember.
I have two brothers. I'm the middle.
You're the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. And they, I won't do my joke.
I'm the one that. Darlene bounced one too many times on his head.
It's horrible. Do you know today's Middle Child Day?
No.
Don't worry, everybody else forgot to.
Whoa.
I thought you were going to give me a fist bump. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you just, it was just three boys?
Three boys.
The Meister house? Okay.
The Meister boys.
And then, so what are your brothers, or are you close with them? Or
Yeah, I am close with them. My older brother,
I remember one with dark hair.
They both have dark hair.
Oh, really?
No one in my family's blonde.
Okay.
That's the milkman factor, so I don't know what to say.
And you guys did have milk delivered to your house.
We had milk delivered,
I remember that.
We had milkmen. They delivered fresh milk in glass bottles.
I've told you, when you said milkman, I'm sorry, you were making a joke about your
mom
sleeping
with the milkman. But she would.
I'm just kidding, darling.
Only joking, darling.
Yes. But I forgot guys used to have milk delivered to your house.
Chuck the milkman.
His name was Chuck.
Chuck.
And I used to say to my mom, why can't we have milk delivered to our house? And she was like, oh, we just buy it at the store or whatever, you know.
I got to tell you, though, fresh milk in glass bottles, tastes totally different.
Oh, I bet.
It's like a whole different thing.
Boy, you just like, you never like, you get this, like, I'm 45 now, so like almost 46. And you just have these moments where you can like remember things that you've totally forgot. It's like weird.
I actually forgot that too until you said that.
Oh, really? I do remember that. Early in the morning, the guy would come and he would bring the
fresh milk
up your drive. They park on the street.
Oh my God. It sounds like we're pioneers.
I know. That's funny, but we can remember. Okay. So, your older brother, did you say that?
He actually was in medical sales for a long time and he started his own company. And I can't.
Is he still here in town then?
He actually lives, I guess you would call it Ross or Harrison.
Okay.
He's been very successful. He started a company that has something to do with little transistors and all these weird little electrical parts. And he worked a lot with the Far East and Thailand and China.
Okay.
And he actually built his company. He sold it about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So
he's cool. He's good. He's good. Copacetic.
It's all good.
It's all good.
And he had three kids. And then my younger brother, he lives in Oceana.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in Oceana. And they're doing great, too. And he's got two sons. So I have my youngest nephew is, 17? And my oldest niece is 30?
Oh, really? Yeah. No kidding, huh? So you're Uncle David.
Yeah, I'm Uncle. I just tell people to call me Dave.
Yeah. Dave, do you go by Dave?
No.
Oh,
the only people that call me Dave are my parents, my brothers.
Okay.
And my nieces and nephews.
Okay.
That's it. Nobody else knows
me
by
Don't even try
Dave.
That. Okay.
It doesn't bother me, but I just don't think of myself as Dave.
Right. Okay. So, I'm sorry. I'm also realizing to turn off my airplane mode here.
Oh.
But, so then they're like, you guys all be getting together. We're recording this right around Christmas here. It's in 2 days. So you guys are all getting together over in Dry Ridge then? Is that?
We are all getting together at my parents' on Sunday.
Cool.
But I was at my brother's yesterday. I saw my other brother. So we'll see each other several times.
That's cool.
I come back. I'm back in Cincinnati probably like at least four times a year.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Are you married, kids or anything?
I am married to my partner, Alan.
Okay.
And the other 20... Over 25 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Long time.
I'm barely, we're like going on seven and it's like rough. So
we've been together a long time.
Did you meet him in LA or?
In LA. He's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker. Okay. But,
and he actually is you talk about successful. He's has a talent management firm and a movie production company.
Really?
Yeah, he started as an actor, but I mean, like, you know, the movies like London Has Fallen,
yeah.
Angel Has Fallen, those are all movies he's produced with his partner, Gerard Butler. So he's done a lot of big movies.
No kidding.
So we kind of have, so that's maybe why I like LA.
Yeah.
Where it's like fashion.
LA is fun.
It's fashion. Well, it's meant to be fun, but it's kind of, I like my world, but it's like the world of entertainment and the world of fashion. And they're a lot alike, actually, because it involves a lot of egos.
Yeah.
It's a whole.
See, I thought the news business when I was, but sounds
no,
like.
No, I mean, I think, but, you know, it is what it is. I love it and I enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Some people hate it.
Now, I don't think I'd hate it. I just, I would, since I, you know, I have taco socks on. I don't know how I do.
Yeah, though, well, you know, but you would lose them first.
So the first time when I was out in Sacramento, you know, around here, everybody asked you what high school you went to. That's like the big Cincinnati thing. And they said, well, you went, oh, I went to Coleraine. Oh, you know, and then that's like they immediately know something about you because you went to Coleraine or you went to LaSalle or whatever, which isn't true.
No. But
the thing I got out in California, and I lived in Las Vegas before I moved to Sacramento, people asked me not what high school I went to, what kind of car I drove.
Ugh. Okay. You're right.
Okay. And I said, at the time, it was a 1994 purple Honda Civic, and they were like,
oh, I had a white Honda Civic.
Oh, did you?
When I first moved there.
Did people judge you too?
Yes.
It was horrible.
You're judged.
It was like,
oh, you're judged.
Oh, my God.
I know, like, you poor thing.
Did you ever go to a pool party and bring your swimsuit?
Yeah.
Well, I showed up at a pool party. I think that one might have been in Las Vegas, and the guy who invited me, he comes up to me, he says, what are you doing? I like, you know, flip-flops on, and he's like, go home and put on club clothes. And I'm like, look at the pool, and there's all these people standing around. It's a pool party at the pool, but not in the pool.
The key is to just always have one in the back of your car, just in case. But no, I mean, that.
So how did you?
I think that used to be.
How did you get used to that kind of thing? I was like, oh my gosh, these people are kind of like not real people or something. It felt.
I just think it's part of, I think no matter where you live, whether it's Cincinnati or whether it's New York or whether it's Los Angeles, every city has its own vibe, its own dynamic. I don't want to call it its own game, but its own thing. And I always say you can be a part of it or you can choose not to be a part of it.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, like, I get it. This is what people ask. I'm not impressed by, you know, so you drive a Bentley. Okay, good for you.
Okay,
you drive a Honda. Fine.
Uh-huh.
But no, I do think.
And were you more interested like who they are, right?
Yeah, a little of both.
Okay.
Bentley would have caught my attention, but I think especially back in the 80s and early 90s, I feel like it's almost like that was the new asking, so what's your sign? It's like, what kind of car do you drive? Mm-hmm. And I was always like, say what?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Is it really? But, you know, and if you did, you could almost see some people like it was.
I know. I saw it. And I didn't, I was like, what, I can't go out and buy a new car. I'm like, you know.
A Honda said, but you know what? In all fairness and in joking, when I met Alan, I was driving my white Honda Civic, and he was driving a Mercedes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He did, let's just say, whenever we went anywhere, we did not go in my car.
Because,
I'm just saying, I mean, and yeah, no, we did not go in the Civic. We went in the Mercedes.
You went in the Mercedes. Yeah, so, okay, so you're good. What brings you out to L.A. then? What do you?
I actually had always wanted to move to L.A. In one of my internships at Danskin, would come out to L.A. like every few weeks, and they would do like kind of regional fashion stuff. Uh-huh. And I knew, like, I loved the vibe. I loved the weather. Mm-hmm.
The weather.
I like sunshine every day of the year. Don't like rain. Don't like cold. Don't like change of seasons. You know. So I knew I loved it, mm-hmm. and I'd been there many times. And I had been trying to move out there, and it's tough. There's not nearly as much high-end fashion in Los Angeles as there is in New York. Mm-hmm. And there was a company, Laundry by Shelley Siegel, at the time that my friend was working at. And they were starting an evening wear division, and she got me in touch with the head of the company. And I flew myself out. I interviewed, and they moved me out. Mm-hmm. And I worked with them for about 6 years. And she actually turned – her name was Rhea Lacone, who ran the company. She's the woman who started Vince, which is a huge apparel company now. Uh-huh. And I'm still very good friends with her. But that's how I ended up in L.A. I finally got out there. Mm-hmm. And after about 6 years, I went and joined in partnership with a corporation called Kelwood. Mm-hmm. And they licensed my name, and they also employed me. And that was the beginning of David Meister. That was the beginning of the brand.
Is that what you were aiming for the whole time? Or is that what was your goal? Did you have a goal like that?
Well,
like,
my goal in life still is global domination. It really is.
Can I be involved?
I'm actually,
I'll get rid of the socks.
No, I'm like someone who's always been very driven. And like I always say too, if you're going to dream, dream crazy big.
Yeah.
Why dream little? Like, I knew I always wanted my own business. I wanted my own company. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I was pretty determined.
Do you think it was something – was it something your parents told you or something innate? Or how did you get that, like, I dream big?
Well, I think it's – a lot of it probably came from my parents. Because growing up, we were never, like, really pressured or – and they always said, too, you can do anything or be anything you want. Like, if I want to be an astronaut, mm-hmm.
we'll help you get
you'll
there.
Be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. You want to be a baker? Be a baker. Uh-huh. You want to be – totally.
Did your parents do? What was
my mom worked at Procter & Gamble for,
did she really?
For most of her life. And I would, for a long time, it was with like computery stuff and I don't want to say IT, some like that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And then at the end, she was doing like event planning and working with like two or three, I don't know, senior VPs as their assistant.
Oh, okay.
Because she loved to work. She would probably still be working now. If mm-hmm. it was up. She loved to work.
Yeah, she's still alive. And we should say
– oh, my parents are still alive and healthy. Yes, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they're doing great.
And she loved to work.
Uh-huh. Did she work like down here at P&G or
– no, she actually worked at Miami Valley Laboratory, which is now torn down.
It's gone.
And they wanted – actually, she worked – when we were younger, she worked – to help pay tuition, actually.
Oh, really?
And then she worked because she enjoyed working, not because she had to. But they wanted to move her down here. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not driving downtown. Like, I'm happy where I'm at. They can keep their – like, but no, but it was great. She loved it. And my dad worked for a company called – oh, my God. RB Tool Manufacturing Company. Uh-huh. I don't even –
did he drive a truck or something?
I feel like he had a van he drove to work. Yes, he did.
I kind of remember that now, too. Like, it was kind of like a bigger van, though, right? Or was it?
No. I think it was just a standard
van. Yeah, I kind of remember. Okay. And so
mom's station wagon was bigger than that van.
I remember the station wagon.
That station wagon. I had to drive that. I had to parallel park that mother. Let me tell you.
That thing was long. I do remember.
That is longer than a boat.
Yeah.
I hated that car. And you probably don't remember the 69 Fastback Mustang. because my older brother fucked that up twice.
Oh, really?
And so then my dad gets rid of it, and I got a Dodge Dart Swinger. Brown.
Oh, really?
Brown.
Yeah, it wasn't that
with nice. A vinyl top. Fabulous.
You liked it?
Are you high?
I don't
the
know what
Mustang the Mustang 69 was heaven. Oh. Fastback Mustang 69.
Oh, okay.
Smooth.
Okay.
And a Dodge
I'm a
Dart
Luddite.
Swinger?
I'm a Luddite, what can I say?
Oh. You talk about demoted.
Uh-huh.
It's like going from cool to loser in one quick breath.
Really?
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. I still remind them.
Yeah. That's funny.
I still keep asking awesome. For my trust fund too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, enough. Just hand it over. You're tormenting me.
Yeah. But there is not one.
There's not one. Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm like,
when I called your mom and dad were very proud of you. I said,
oh, they're
he's
great.
Done pretty well. And they were like, oh yeah, he's done pretty well.
No. They're great. And actually, I'm involved with several charity organizations, and one is Dress for Success.
Uh-huh.
And I was always part of their yearly thing in New York. And every year they honor two mothers. And actually, about, 5 years ago, my mom was – her and Niecy Nash's mom were honored. Uh-huh. So it's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
That's cool.
I just don't – I mean, it's so weird to even talk about it. But, yeah. I've done well.
Yeah, I know.
I
don't mean to like emphasize that, but it's a cool thing that I guess I'm just still mesmerized because I'm.
I don't think to me, I don't really sit back and think about it, which is part of the reason I think I just keep moving forward. Uh-huh. Like you got to sit back sometimes and look at it. And I'm like, I just keep moving. Uh-huh. So like, some people say, but you've built this big company and you've this and you that. And when you think about it, yeah, it's kind of impressive.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's kind of.
I'm doing a podcast, and
right.
Well, in Ohio, but I was a little self.
I just never got. Stop it. I've never really. I just never really. I don't think you can buy into yourself so much.
Yeah,
I think you got to take what you do seriously and love it.
Uh huh.
But the minute you start believing your own shit, I think that's a sign of trouble. Like Joan Rivers was one of the most amazing people I've ever
you've done
TV with.
You did TV with Joan Rivers. Can she's I ask you about specific people, or
we can see how it goes.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, she's one I saw on your website. Tell everybody
Joan
what
Rivers,
you did about with
okay
her.
Well, Joan, well, I did something for Fashion Police
on
E! Entertainment twice with her, but the one time I worked with her was probably about a year before she died, less. We spent a whole day working together.
And was she just a trip?
She is the most amazing, nice woman. Mm-hmm. And everyone thinks she's so not like her persona. She really is like an Upper East Side kind of socialite, very smart woman, witty, funny, but she's not Joan.
Yeah.
She's really
That was an act, right? It was her shtick. Yeah.
And she really cares about people.
Oh, that's cool.
And she remembers people. And like, it's real. I still kind of stutter because she really was one of the good ones to work. She and her daughter is too. Her daughter is lovely.
Yeah, no kidding.
Lovely.
So when you get out there and you're and I'm jumping ahead because I mean it's fun to talk about celebrities and all that kind of stuff too. But you get out there and you start building your brand. Like what does that involve? I mean, how do you? It must be kind of nerve wracking. Is it just working all the time? Are you working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, almost? Or are you?
I think. At the beginning, you're working almost 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps when you have a big corporation behind you. I really don't think – I think it's almost impossible anymore to start a company without some kind of big funding behind you. It's being done again. It's just so much tougher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much tougher. And it's all about having a good PR firm. Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
so important. So
you've got to have a PR firm.
You can't just make good dresses or good
you
clothing.
You can. Well, no, I think, you start making good dresses, you get them in stores, it starts doing well. But then you also need the press part of it, which the press part of it used to be much more magazine-driven and different kind of event-driven and red carpet-driven. It still is very red carpet-driven, but now it's about social media-driven.
Uh-huh, right.
It's about the Instagram. It's about the Twitter. It's about –
Facebook?
Facebook's becoming less and less. And there's actually another new one, but I can't
Snapchat
think of
it. Snapchat or the...
There's another one even, I think.
TikTok one?
Is that something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
TikTok,
know.
TikTok.
My got two stepsons. And they, yeah, and I said something about TikTok, and they make kind of some kind of reference to like are you into like pornography or something? And I was like, no, I don't even know what that is.
But I think it just kind of builds, you know, the clothes did well. And then the PR.
I should just say somebody else then told me that it was not that. So go ahead.
Okay. The PR part, I think it is. That's what brings attention. And people are so media driven and celebrity driven. And it only helps that the more the name the brand is out there, the more aware people are, the more they recognize the name and the more they are interested in looking at it and hopefully buying it.
So, okay. So then if you go into your website, which people, it's davidmeister.com.
Right.
And that's what I was looking at. You have a whole gallery of like very well-known people, all women, by the way, we should say that.
Yes.
You don't make men's clothing.
No,
right?
I've always just done women's dresses, cocktail dresses and evening wear.
Okay. And that's been your whole, thing?
That's my game.
Okay. No taco socks. So.
No taco socks.
Sorry, keep bringing up socks. Now I'm self-conscious about the taco. But was there like a first celebrity that first, and do they hear of you? And you know,
well, no, actually,
or
it was
my them, or how does that work?
No, it's most of it starts through PR firms and stylists.
So the celebrities are looking for what, free dresses or something?
Well,
or?
Usually it's they borrow.
Oh, they borrow.
They borrow, and you know, it's sort of like a handshake agreement. You know, they borrow. They're on the red carpet, and your name is said. So it's kind of, you know, it's a win-win.
Uh-huh.
For, okay. You know, for both sides.
Do you always get the dress back?
Well, a lot of times I would gift it. Oh, if it was custom made, we would gift it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you'd get it back.
Oh, really?
Because a lot of celebrities or anyone, once you wear a dress on a red carpet, it's kind of useless.
Okay.
Because you can't.
You can't wear it again, right?
You really can't wear it again on the red carpet. So.
Because that faux pas where the two celebrities show up with the same dress at the same event.
I did that someone on purpose.
On purpose.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, I saw the pictures on your website.
I
forgot that when I said that.
Forgive me. They're both so cool. And I can't think of the name of the movie, but they both had teenage daughters and they were rivals in high school, these two girls. So these two women meet at a pool party and they show up in the same dress.
In the
David Meister dresses in the movie, and they have a fight and throw each other in the pool.
No kidding.
So they got
in touch. Did they say it's David Meister in the movie? Or
I think we had like a David Meister boutique thing happening.
Really?
I don't remember, but they got in touch with my publicist and said, we want to show up at the premiere in the same dress.
Oh, really?
That I thought was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And so that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. And they showed up in the same dress.
Okay. And so that was okay.
Yeah.
And
that's the only time it's okay. If it's planned. Otherwise, not good.
Not good. That's a bad day.
Oh, not good.
A really bad day.
Really bad day.
Really.
For a lot of people.
Really. So a publicist then is out like shopping your line to celebrities?
Or they're like being in touch with the stylist, sending out lookbooks. Lookbooks would kind of show the current collection. And
is there a lot of overhead getting started? I mean, it seems like there must be just like publicists and lookbooks and
it gets expensive.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's so tough. It doesn't have to be expensive to do a lookbook. I mean, now, you know, it's all digital.
Oh, okay.
So not everything has to be a fortune, but it's you just need people. And listen, you can do it on a dime. You can do it on a fortune.
Okay.
It's easier to do on a fortune, but anything can be done on a dime and still be done well. It's just, got to be kind of savvy how you do it.
You got to know how did you do it then?
Well, I think we started out small. And like I said, I had a corporation behind me.
And the corporation was saying, make us stuff
actually,
and we'll sell it in there.
No. They licensed my name.
Okay.
So I was being paid a royalty on what we sold.
Okay.
And they also hired me as the head of the company.
Okay.
So I was an employee also. So I still own my
name. Why did they pick you? Did they know you because you work there? Or
actually, a good friend of mine, Penny Ashkenazi, who worked at Laundry with me for a while, she had left and moved to that corporation. And we loved working with each other. And she is the one who brought me in.
Oh.
And so that's how it started.
Okay.
And she knew me. And
so there's a little luck. I don't want to discount
what
you're doing.
Here's what it is. I say everything in life. It's sort of whether you're a famous actor, you're a singer, whatever. You got to have talent. And then there's luck, timing, the right situation, the right moment. Everything has to
come
together.
And that all happened to you too, right?
It just comes together at the right time. Absolutely. I mean,
you have the talent, obviously. You went to DAP and you had jobs that people were like, you're good at this.
Right. So I think it is timing.
And you pay the passion.
And I knew I always wanted my own company. And actually, before it even happened, about a year and a half earlier, I was working with someone and almost had a deal put together, and it kind of fell apart at the last minute. Yeah. So like talent's not enough ever, I don't think.
Okay.
Because anybody who's been successful, you always need that one person or that one moment. There's always something that just clicks.
Uh-huh.
And that's what turns it, I believe.
And that must be really exciting to feel that.
Yeah,
I mean, I've had that in my career.
It's really exciting, but it's also kind of like nerve wracking because it's like, holy shit, now I got all this. And we started out, my assistant and I, we walked into a room smaller than the room we're in, mm-hmm. and it was empty.
Uh-huh.
And there were two desks. And we're like, we looked at each other and we're like, we had nothing. So we started it from scratch. And it's pretty wild. And you know, I think the less you know, the mm-hmm. better off you are. Because I was just speaking to someone the other day and they were saying, yeah, but I know so little about filmmaking. And sometimes the less you know, the better. Because mm-hmm. you just go.
Uh-huh.
Like there was no time to sit back and analyze what we needed to do. We just moved.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what really motivates people.
How long ago was that?
25. Let's see.
Oh, you've been doing this that long.
It's been like 21 years.
Really?
My own brand. Yeah.
Really?
About 21 years.
Wow. Okay. So what's the first thing where you know that like this is going to work?
Well, I knew that the stores all knew my product or my designs through Laundry by Shelley Siegel. That Evening Wear line did extremely well.
Okay.
Like at Neiman's and Saks and Bloomingdale's and Lord & Taylor.
Is that like what the musicians always talk about, like hearing their song on the radio kind of thing? And you're like, oh, this was that like...
Well, when it sells, it's really good because if it doesn't sell after a while, you're going to be out of a job.
Okay.
And so they knew me and I knew all the buyers. And so when we launched, we were fortunate enough that all the stores came in and all the stores were willing to bring us into the store at a small level. They didn't know the quality of what it was going to be. They saw the samples, obviously, but they all were on board. They all were supportive of me, I must say. The stores at every level have always been very supportive of me. So I'm actually I've always been very grateful to them.
Is that part of that networking too? Are you?
It is, but I think it's also, I think, it's networking, but it's not about even just networking. I think if someone respects your work and you respect them, you just kind of build up this business relationship. And I think that it's very important on all levels. You have to have that kind of – and I was fortunate enough, and it's like I'm just sitting here thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just – it did. It all clicked. But they trusted what I do. They trusted what I was doing. And I had worked with them for a long time, and so everyone was on board. And fortunately, it worked really well, and it just grew, and it grew, and took me to where I am today. I mean, and then at one point, we did an exclusive line for just Bergdorf Goodman, which was a much higher-end line.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had done bridal for a while. I've kind of dabbled in a bunch of different things, but, you know... That's how it started. It was two people in an empty room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, wow. And then is it – pardon my ignorance on this topic, but I'm just sort of like, so do you make money per piece or do they pay you to make a design and somebody makes it or do you like
– No, how it really worked for – my situation was very unusual. I, as a royalty, like based on X dollars of sales a year, I would get X percentage.
Okay.
And – That's
so
how.
Better it's
that's
sold,
how
the
a license, or
yeah,
the more you sell, the more you sell, the more you make.
Okay, so they don't like buy it and like say, oh, we bought this design from David Meister and it was X dollars and
no, because I really was running the company also as like the head of the company, the CEO, which it's kind of a very unusual thing to be licensed and running the company.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I was, and actually, it was a very good thing.
Uh huh.
And I still own all of my intellectual property and my name. And
really?
A lot of people, they don't.
Oh, really?
Oh, a lot of people.
Do you still work for that company then, or are you?
No. I actually.
So you got like best of both worlds.
We separated probably about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And it was a good run, though. I was with them for like, 16, we worked together for like 16 years.
Okay. So then what was that moment? Like, you, I started to ask you about like a celebrity or somebody like you, this, when you heard the song on the radio, or what was that?
I know exact, this is an easy question.
Yeah.
Because one of the, after we, there's actually two kinds of PR firms. There's one that is really just for Hollywood celebrity dressing. There are PR firms. And I had an amazing one. And one of the first people I dressed was Sharon Stone.
Oh, really? Huh.
And she is amazingly smart. And she really understands fashion.
So when you design people, you meet them too, right? You don't.
Sometimes it all depends.
Okay.
But
you know her, it sounds like.
With Sharon Stone, I had never met her, and she had gotten one of my first lookbooks. Oh my God. And so I went over and met her, and we did some stuff with her. But she was great to work with because she really understands fashion and clothing and is really into it. And nobody. Nobody wears clothes like she does. Because I always say she could teach a lot of these younger girls on the red carpet today how it's done.
Okay.
Like she's glamorous. Mm-hmm. Like, and what I love, and I'll never forget this, she said too, you know, there's Sharon, and then when the car door opens, Miss Stone steps out.
Oh, right.
And no one, she wears clothes so well, like I love it. I love it.
What is it? Just is it the way she? Is it her body? Is it the? Her,
no, I think her attitude, it's so many things. It's like it's something you can't describe. I think you either. To me, you should be able. It's an energy. It's how you carry yourself. But to me, it's like not even about what you're wearing. You should be able to be glamorous in a t-shirt and cut off jeans. You just have to be able to own it. Like forget about what you're wearing and just own it. And I can't explain it anymore
than that.
So
it's confidence.
It's confidence. It's knowing how to wear what's on your body. Because I always think you should, if you're going to be on a red carpet, you shouldn't think about anything. You should not have to think about what you're wearing, about your hair, you know, about your boob falling out of your dress or your heel breaking. Like, you should not have to think about anything except being present and being there for what you're doing. Because it's crazy. It's crazy. Some of those red carpets, when a million people are screaming over here, over here, over here, over here, over here, over here.
Those are like, the photographers.
But she was the first one, and that I will never forget. And she's always, when people ask me who is one of my favorite people I've ever dressed, she's always on the top
part of the list. Are you kept in touch with her, or do you?
No, I mean, if I would see her out at different events, we would see. Oh my God! Look who it is. This is my partner, Petey.
I'm like,
Petey.
Hey, how are you? Hi, I'm Joe.
Pleasure.
Nice to meet you. And this is Petey.
Hi, Petey.
Hey, Petey.
Hey, buddy.
This is the one who was sick a little earlier.
Oh yeah, he's my buddy.
He's much better now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's much better.
Did he get medication
or? No, he didn't. They said just watch him; he'll be fine.
Okay.
His heart is good, you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's it. I'll come up when we're done.
Okay.
Hey, Mr.
Richard. Yeah, nice to meet you, Alan. Yeah, take care.
You be a good boy.
Come on, baby.
Very good. You guys are okay on time and everything?
Or? Yeah, we're fine. We're
okay.
Fine.
Good.
We're fine.
Great. I was like, okay. Who's coming in the room? So I'm glad you knew him.
Yeah, I'm
like, I was like, wait a minute. There's a dog. And I was like, okay. So you don't like keep in touch with Sharon or Miss Stone, I guess.
No. I mean, if I'm out and about, I would.
You call her Miss Stone if you saw her?
No, I would. No, I
was. Does she know you were the first one for her or not?
I don't know. There's so much going on and they're so busy. Does she? It to me, it was probably a much bigger deal that Sharon Stone was wearing my clothes and was probably the first big. And she's worn every designer in the world
yeah,
a million times over.
She's beautiful. So, I've heard a podcast with her. She is very smart. I heard her interview.
She's crazy smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know, because I know her from Basic Instinct. And I saw her when I was like, I saw that movie when I was like 18. And
she's
so I have certain thoughts.
She's beautiful. She's crazy smart. And what I like too, and sort of another one that people bring up is Jane Fonda.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's not what I love about Jane Fonda too is to me to be sexy and modern and relevant, it doesn't mean you got to be 20.
Mm-hmm.
But like Jane Fonda to me is still like,
She's
early 80s. She's still hot.
I think I saw 83, I think is what
she's still sexy.
Yeah.
She's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about a number.
Right.
It's about, again, it's about how you handle yourself, your energy.
Sure.
You know, and And I like it because
she speaks her mind and she understands herself. She's lived long enough to like. I get what you're saying because I've.
But
seen
I
her
also think they still care about like Jane Fonda looks amazing. She can still bring it.
Yeah, sure.
But it's also not like she's trying to be 40.
Right.
I'm not saying.
Yeah. No.
You know,
right.
It's like so. I think with any of these people, it's not about a number. I know people who are in their late 20s who feel like they're 90, and we have friends who are you know in their 70s. Who are like 20.
Uh-huh.
It's to me, it's about a state energy and a state of mind.
Yeah. So you deal with it. So then who's like, Sharon Stone wears this dress that you created. And then everyone's like, who's this guy, David Meister? Or how does that
work? Actually, at the beginning, yes. It was kind of that instant thing.
Or
well,
did she wear it to like a premiere or something?
The first time I think she wore me was to the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, wow.
She was presenting.
That's like international.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like huge.
So, yeah. Wow. So that I think was the first time. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's amazing. So then definitely that's international exposure
That's international exposure.
Oh my gosh. That's great. I mean,
so
do you pay people to wear your stuff? I mean, in that case, or she, it's not like
no,
that.
I mean,
she doesn't get like $10,000 for wearing your dress or something.
No, I'm not saying that certain things don't go on in the business, okay. But with me, No, it's always been, you know, if you want to wear them, that's fine. And like in the case of with her, anything we made for her, I would always gift her because please wear it again.
Yeah, right.
Please wear it again.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So, no, but a lot of times I would gift things to people if they wore them. It's like I said, what am I going to do with them?
Yeah. So then what happens next? Then after that, like, what is the next, you're like, okay, this is good, right? This is a good thing?
I mean, that.
Are you off to the races then, or is it
well,
just.
Well, I just think that's another element that adds to what you really are trying to do, build a business and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And the more exposure you get, the more business you hopefully get, which just keeps, you know, growing and elevating the company.
And who are you getting the business from? From the public or other celebrities or?
No, the stores.
Oh, the stores.
The whole goal is to you know, sell the product.
Uh-huh.
The celebrities in the red carpet and or photo shoots or fashion shoots, whether it's like an InStyle or whatever.
Oh, okay.
All that's about press and getting attention.
Okay.
To your name and brand. And then the whole goal behind all that is to drive sales.
I see.
Because as a business person in me, it's a business.
Yeah.
Because that's when you were asking about, is it art? Because it really is a bottom line business.
Mm-hmm.
You either make a profit or you don't. And with art, it's so subjective. It's usually one piece. And you're not trying to sell 1,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes, it's just a very different thing. It's a bottom line down and dirty business.
Yeah.
And I love that because I'm very much a business person and a numbers person too. Mm-hmm. So like, I love that part of it. So that's why I say when people say it's art, it can be art, but I think clothing needs to be on a body and mm-hmm. moving.
Gotcha. So when you, so nowadays, like, so, or well, I'm still kind of curious, like the next, so you, the, on your webpage, you've got, I didn't count them, but I would say, dozens, a couple dozen celebrities wearing them.
And that's very edited.
oh, there's a lot more.
Yes.
There's a lot more. So how does that, like, and there's sometimes you're with the person. Sometimes you're not.
Yes.
Why are you with the person? Where does that?
why am I with? No, it depends.
Hey, why, like,
sometimes I'm at events where.
I didn't mean that to be.
No. sometimes I'm at the events where they are. I'm trying to think, like, if it's like the CFDA awards or a fashion event, like with Delilah, who is Lisa Rinna's daughter, or like Ireland Baldwin, I'm trying to think, Sophia Bush. There are certain events I go to, and one of them will be my date or something. I'd be on the red carpet then, or if I happen to be.
And like, why is that? Are you because you're friendly with them, or is that part of the arrangement?
Well, usually it's kind of we dress them, and they go with. So it's kind of And it's cool and it's fun. Everybody I've ever been on the red carpet with to an event, like I've kind of have met and it kind of just works out really well for both, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you like meeting celebrities?
I don't really think of people as meeting I don't even like that word.
Okay.
But because I think maybe because they're really, most people who are stars, they're actors, they're actresses. And because of my partner's business, I have met so many people and they're just people.
Yeah.
And I think to me, it's kind of sad because so many of them have to be kind of isolated or really can't be out and about because yeah. everyone's like, and they get all crazy. And it's like, you know, I get that. And I respect that from the standpoint that without the public's interest, they wouldn't be in the spot where they're at. But I mean, really, when people can't like put a bite of food, I've seen so many different things, but it's like I think people need to know their boundaries. I think mm-hmm. most people who are so well known have nothing but respect for their fans. But I think at the same time, I see where sometimes the public doesn't know when to draw a line. Yeah. And that's the part, because people I know, it's like people are like, oh, you know so-and-so. I'm like, you mean? Mm-hmm. They're just people
yeah.
who just happen to do that and be well known for it.
Well, and I talked to, do you know Paula Frelick? She was Page Six.
You mean Page Six for the Post?
Yeah.
I don't know her, but I know Page Six.
Yeah, she was there from like 1999 to 2009.
Okay.
And she's from Cincinnati.
Really?
Yeah, she is. I just talked to her yesterday.
I like Page Six.
Yeah, yeah. Paula's great. Yeah, she's wonderful. And she says, I asked her about you. She said, I don't know the LA fashion people as well as the New York right. fashion people. But, I kind of asked her the same question because it's like, you know, in Ohio, I remember I was in Sacramento, I'll just say one time, and I saw, I saw Ben Stein. You know, that guy.
Ben Stein?
You know who he is?
No.
Well, he's a Bueller. Bueller. Do you remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Uh-huh. Did you ever see that? He's the teacher going, Bueller.
Okay.
He's really smart, and he's this, like, Republican strategist, which is interesting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an interesting, but he's like, and he's got that very distinct voice, but Bueller. I haven't seen anything in a while. And I'm walking down the street in Sacramento, and I see him, and I'm like, and I call my friend who is from Costa Mesa in Orange County, okay, who now lives in Mountain View near San Jose and the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm like, I just saw Ben Stein. He said, first of all, I don't know who that is. And second of all, get over it. You're in California now, okay? You're going to see a lot more people that are famous. And because famous here is like we see like, you know, Clyde Gray or you know, you know who Clyde Gray is? He was a newscaster.
Oh my God! Yes.
Or Nick Clooney. Let's say Nick Clooney.
Nick Clooney. Yes, everyone knows.
And now George. Yeah, but as he says, he likes to say, I used to be Nick Clooney. Now I'm George's dad. You know, that's what you know. Because he was.
I get it.
You know, he was for a long time. So that's celebrity around here. But I think people are sort of fascinated by that, like, you know, in what Paula was saying. I'm kind of going all over the place here. Paula's like, they're just people. So some people are great. Some people are nice. Some people are not nice. And
yeah.
And I said, well, who? And she said, I can't remember who she said, but she said, like, she said, somebody is like this not nice person. And they're just not a nice person. And she said, but here's somebody. I've never met this person, but I'd love to meet him just to sit down and talk to them because they're interesting. They're an interesting person. But most of them are just actors. And she said, actors are kind of boring.
I mean, I think what people – forget. I think people see it as very glamorous, or mm-hmm. people think fashion is very glamorous. I love what I do, but it's like hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for an actor too, it's what they do. Mm-hmm. It's like their job. And so, yes, there are elements that make it fabulous, but it's like anyone else. That is their job.
What's your favorite part of your job?
What is my favorite part of the job? At this point, I still love – actually, I love it when you design something and, you know, it's finished and you're starting to fit it, whether on the model or the person, mm-hmm. and you kind of see it come to life. And then a lot of times, though, it changes a little. You'll be like, that could be better if you do this. I always say design is an organic process. You start with A, and you have a sketch and an idea of what you think you mm-hmm. want, mm-hmm. and almost always you kind of end up veering to the right or to the left a little bit because mm-hmm. it just kind of evolves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing with design. You can't try to impose like a set of rigid thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. You kind of just have to let it evolve. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about the design process. You just kind of got to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's your favorite part, you think?
I think that. And at this point, the other part that I love to do is like promoting it or doing television. I've done a lot of stuff on television too, talking about fashion, which I love because I just love talking.
Mm-hmm. That's good for thing.
But yeah, I would say that the creative part of seeing something evolve is probably always been my favorite part of it.
What's the least favorite part then? I guess we got to ask the yin and yang.
Well, the least favorite part, I think, is when, you know, everyone has good seasons and bad seasons. Uh-huh. And trust me, I've been really up and I've been really down. Uh-huh. And when you're having a down slump, and like I said, all the retailers have always been really great partners. So even when you're having a bad season, you know, they're sticking with you, but you're trying to figure out, okay, what's different about what I'm doing now and why isn't it resonating with the customer and why isn't it selling? That, I think, is
the frustrating.
It's the hardest part because, A, it's affecting your bottom line business numbers, and it's kind of an abstract. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's opinion, but for whatever reason, these last two seasons, the customer isn't buying it. And, you know, I'm still the same person.
You're saying it's currently happening right now?
No. In the past. So it's like that, I think, is what is
you get this fear that you're done or something?
No, not the fear that you're done, but it's like figuring out, okay, why is it not resonating? Mm-hmm. Like, what's shifted and what do we need to shift back or change or tweak to make it?
And you're confident you're going to find that?
I think starting out, you're not. Now, yes. Mm-hmm. People used to say, what's the scariest part about the business? And I would always say every season after like every 3 months, you'd be looking at that empty rack. And it's like, oh my God, I got to have another collection in 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Like it'd be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm not going to have a line. I'm not going to have a collection finished. After you've done it enough, mm-hmm. I think you still have that inner fear a little bit, but it's like, shut up.
You've been
doing
this
25 years. Well, now my whole business works differently. It's a licensing model where I'm not necessarily running a whole company, and I license my name, and I'm still involved creatively.
Oh, really?
And things like that, yes.
So you're not a cutting fabric and all that kind of stuff anymore?
No. And I actually, even when I was running the business, I was very involved, but I wasn't cutting fabric.
So you have a bunch of people working for you then?
Well, at one point, I had probably 60 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Oh, that's very impressive.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
So between New York and L.A., yes.
Oh, really? So you're going back and forth a lot?
I was going back and forth a lot. My showroom was always in New York.
Huh.
So we were always considered a New York company in the world of fashion, even though everything else was based in L.A.
Is the showroom like a storefront or something?
No,
or?
The showroom is where the buyers and everyone would come for Fashion Week or come. Oh. They would come in like every other month and to buy. Huh. And that was always in New York.
Really? Okay. So even though you're working out in L.A., so then what are you doing now? So you say you're licensing out and are you?
Now I actually am. I'm a licensed name and I'm actually working on putting some different deals together again right now. And I'm actually also pitching some television shows for Netflix.
About fashion?
I really can't talk about a lot of that.
Really?
I'm doing kind of a lot of things at the moment.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So maybe one day you can tell us, right?
Yeah.
One day.
Hopefully.
So you're doing some. Very intrigued.
And I used to do HSN, which I love doing. That was great because talk about instant
Home Shopping Network.
That's fun too because.
You'd go on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Like we would do a line for them and then you'd go on and sell. You'd go for like, I don't know. You'd go for 3 days and do like 4 or 5 appearances, but you talk about seeing great instant results and seeing numbers, and that's fun.
Huh. Where are they based? Aren't they based in Florida?
They're based in Florida.
I have an old friend who worked for them when she first got out of college.
It's pretty amazing. It's amazing.
Huh.
Because you have an earphone, you have an earplug in one ear, and you know, you have the models there, and all of a sudden, okay, the purple sold out. It's like you see it happening. It's wild.
Huh. That's on there commenting and talking.
And you're on talking about it, and you're here, but you're also hearing what's happening in real time.
Oh, at their call center or whatever.
So yeah, it's pretty good. It's great. That's fun.
Huh. That's interesting. Gosh, it's fascinating.
That's fun.
So then you got the entertainment side of things. You can't talk about that. You got me thinking about all kinds of questions I could ask you about them, but you can't say anything. Okay, I got that. Like, what is a day like for you then? What is a day like now for David Meister? What do you
A day like now is...
I mean, it's the holidays now, but...
Well, the holidays now.
Like, if it's like a day in September
it or it just depends what August I'm working on. If luckily now that I'm in the world of licensing, I work from home. Uh-huh. I have an office, which is like a separate guest house under the house. So I would go to my office, and it depends on what my deadline is. I might work all day, or I might know I got to get X, Y, and Z done this week, uh-huh. and I might decide I'm just going to work Monday and Tuesday, and I'm going to work straight through, finish it, or I'm going to work for a few hours each. You know what I mean? I have a lot more control of my time now. And the beauty of it is I don't really have employees that I have to have reporting to me.
Yeah.
Which I had a great, I had the most amazing team that worked with me for the whole 20 years. Not the whole 20 years, the whole 15. But, and I used to also have a 2.5 hour commute every day in LA.
One way?
Total, but still.
Yeah.
Still do that for 20 years?
Yeah. People in Cincinnati, if the traffic slows them down 5 minutes, they get upset. And then I'll tell you when, try to go to San Francisco at like 8 o'clock in the morning from Sacramento.
Well, no, it's like in LA, traffic has gotten even worse. I mean, it is what it is. That's the one thing I don't like about Los Angeles.
That's probably what I don't like about LA too,
The traffic.
Yeah.
But the good news is there in the traffic, you at least control the environment, the temperature, what you're listening to, who you're talking to. Because when you're on transportation in New York, it's like you're on the train, you're on a bus, you're on, and you aren't in control of your environment. And I am a control freak. So at least in LA, I can control as many elements as possibly can be controlled.
So now I have to ask you about the control freak side. You brought that. So is that, you think that helped you in your success to be like, feel like you just need to? So
yeah. There's only one way, my way or the highway.
Okay.
Right. Yes. I think no matter what you do, whether it's creative business or any business, you have to have one, like you have to have a very clear direction and vision. And you got to stay focused on that. And the minute you start having people pull you away from it or making you veer off, you're screwed. I think you have to just always be very focused. And you have to be opinionated. You have to know exactly what you want.
Can you? What about the diva factor? Do you get the the people that are you want to say something? I can tell.
No, I mean,
I'm not talking about you.
Oh well, you can talk about me. I'm sure I have had many diva moments. I'm sure, but
I was talking
most
about,
of the people you ask who work for me. I'm actually very easy to work for, and I think most people would because I really think you got to let people do their thing, and I believe you got to have fun when you work, but you got to do your job.
Okay.
But I think people should be able to, like, you know, if you were sitting here until 9 o'clock tonight finishing a project that I need it done from you, I'm not going to be breathing down your neck. Why aren't you at your desk at 9 o'clock in the morning? I get it. You got to let people feel, if people are feel comfortable and relaxed and like they're trusted, you get so much out of people.
Right.
And the minute you are like tough and demanding and nasty and people feel uptight, everybody just freezes. It doesn't help anyone. Right. And I've seen a lot of that. I've learned from some of the best of what not to do. And I've learned from some of the best of what to do.
Some of the Devil Wears Prada moments maybe, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about when the customers are divas? Like what, like, and you want, you're the control freak, and do you have people that are like, no?
Customer's always right.
Okay, that's the one.
Okay. The customer's always right.
Okay. I mean, that's, I agree. I mean,
customer's always right.
So you the diva thing gets shut off and you just kind of...
I don't think... it's fun when you do in-store appearances and meet with customers because you really hear what people like, what they don't like, what works, what doesn't work. And a lot of times it really is sound and resonates. And there are good points. Of course, every once in a while, you're going to get, you know, I've been in fitting rooms with people and the woman, all she wanted to do was talk about her new boob job. You know, what do I think? I'm like, you're talking to the wrong guy. I don't know. I don't know. Just put him away. You know what I'm saying? It's so, but in general.
And that's really happened, I imagine. Is it?
Yes. I couldn't even make that.
I learned waiting in line for The Price is Right in Burbank. Is that Burbank or Television City? Are they the same? I don't know.
I think so.
I learned how to tell what a fake boob job was by a woman who had a fake boob job. It was my first. in the line for but The Price is Right.
If it's good, you shouldn't. But no, I mean, well, I but that's what that makes it fun. Yeah. That's what makes it fun. But I must say, it is really good to meet with customers and get feedback in here, because I think what can happen sometimes in the world of fashion, you know, everyone, you know, thinks about, you know, whoever, like Kendall Jenner or whoever, the model of the moment on the runway, who is like 5'10 and got the perfect model body.
Yeah.
People, you kind of start thinking, and that's how you show your clothes, and yes, the clothes look great, but that's not who's buying them. Real women's bodies aren't like a model's body.
Yeah.
They aren't. Uh-huh. So I think it kind of keeps you more in tune with, okay, you have to kind of remember.
That's a really good point I should bring up. I mean, because I don't buy dresses, but there is that whole, like, you know, photoshopping of bodies and or the models, they're like wafy, and or that was the thing for a while. And those aren't real people. People in Ohio don't look like that.
Well, I mean, some do, but in general, most women aren't 5'10 and 6 feet tall and like a size 0 or 2, you know, with like a 24-inch waist and 35-inch hips. Mm-hmm. So those clothes that you see on the runway still have to be made to be able to work on a real person. And at the same time, often though, there are things on runways that aren't really meant to sell. It's just driving the image, which is helping to build the business, which is the fragrance and the bags and the shoes and the small leather goods. So there's a lot going on the runway.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning a lot about this stuff. Well, I like, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Oh my God. 5 years from
or
now.
Or 10 in 10 year. I mean,
5 years from now, I will definitely still be involved in fashion and media and pretty much everything I still am. 10 years, I don't know. You know what? I always am, like, I love what I do. I'm always looking for the next, and I don't like to project too much onto it. Like, I'm always open. My thing is, and I tell people in colleges too, never say no to a meeting. Never say no to meeting someone. Mm-hmm. Never. You don't ever know what's going to happen next. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know when I was picking up the phone that day that it was going to be my friend saying, okay, we're going to start a bit. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So as soon as I say A, B is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'll always be involved in fashion.
Gotcha. So, and to bring it back here to Cincinnati, we're in downtown Cincinnati. We're at the 21C here, and I should thank them for letting us use a room here, and they were very kind. What is your how do you see your Cincinnati background influencing you? Did it influence you, do you think, or is it something you left behind?
Wow. That's tough. I think it was a great place to grow up. I do think it's a great place to raise a family.
Yeah.
I think my education, especially my education at LaSalle, was amazing. It was very liberal. I mean, that I think was very good. And I think...
What year did you graduate from LaSalle?
80.
Okay.
So I don't think I... this is a tough one. I think... I don't know. I just know that, A, if I ever get too big in my own mind, I know there'll be two people who are more than happy to smack me back down to reality, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that I think it was this, I'm stuttering because it's like, that's a tough question. I think I'm still the same person. Do I think I've changed? No, I obviously have, but I think I'm still very grounded and have the same at essence values that I, you know, grew up with. And my parents are very grounded. And I hate the word normal. Mm. So, because I'm so not normal. And, but to me, they're normal. But I knew, it's interesting. I knew when I was.
Were they okay with you not being normal?
Yeah. I didn't know I wasn't normal. I was never.
And I hate to say, I'm using your words, I should say.
Yeah, you're using my words.
You're a person.
My parents, they never, you know, I grew up, like, if I wanted, you know, I don't know, I had a fire truck. If I wanted a doll, I could have a doll. If I want, there was no, and that was in the 60s.
That's great. That's awesome.
So I can't really, I don't know.
My mom was that way too.
I was never, that was never like weird. Okay, you get, it was just what it was.
Yeah.
So I can't really judge by that. But I do think something about growing up here and what kind of a normal childhood, or just having, I mean, or the, no, I think it's how I was raised and who my parents were. That probably, that is what made me who I am, I think. Mm-hmm. And so those core values and that kind of stuff is always there. And that doesn't really, I don't think that ever leaves. Who you are goes, it's like when somebody thinks they're having a horrible life and they're going to pack up and move to another city. Well, you can pack, but all your stuff comes right along with you.
Yeah.
So it's just part of who you are.
Right.
So it, that goes with me wherever I am. Uh-huh. And then, you know, the rest, I knew, but I did know when I was four that I was leaving. Mm-hmm. When I was four.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You must.
I knew when I was four. I was my parents had people over one night, and I was sitting in the living room, and I thought, I am so bored. I am going to kill myself.
Uh-huh.
I am so out of here.
Huh.
I knew at four. Uh-huh. Oh. And, like, I don't know how. Like, I had found Vogue.
Did you tell and your folks
that? No, but I think they knew.
Okay.
But, like, I found Vogue and W, which was a fashion kind of socialite newspaper, like, on the newsstand when I was, like, six or seven. And I'm like, okay. And so then, you know, my mom was subscribing to Vogue and W.
That's
and
awesome.
Not because she was dying to get Vogue, but it's like I was obsessed. Like, I was obsessed.
Even
I wanted to know everything.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, like, Studio 54 was happening when I was, like, I don't know, 12. Why wasn't I there?
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
You know, I talked to a guy, and his podcast was the first one we were releasing, and he is from Cincinnati, right? And he was the executive producer on The Jeffersons and was a writer on All in the Family, and then went to New York and worked for Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show. He's the executive producer of The Cosby Show. And he said, look, you know, I went to St. X. I grew up in Finneytown. I went to be a TV writer. You can't do that in Cincinnati.
Well, you can't be in – exactly.
Yeah.
You can't be – I used to say, too, there were some people who were in the program at DAP who were studying fashion, but they didn't want to leave Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I was always like, well, you kind of maybe should rethink your major because it's not an easy program. It's tough and it's 5 years. And it's like, what exactly are you going to do with this? Because if I'm going to put myself through this, I better really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can't do that here. There are certain professions you can't do. There's like what cities you can do fashion in New York, LA. And unless it's your own small little thing, those are the two cities, really.
Yeah. For anyone who works for Gap and graduated DAP and Gap.
There's San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's Columbus with the Limited. There's Seattle.
So there's a little
There's some, but the two places where there are multiple and many opportunities career-wise, it's New York or LA. So if you hate New York and LA, in general, odds are fashion may not be.
Are people surprised when you find out they're from Ohio?
I get both. I get no way.
Yeah.
And then I get they totally get it.
Yeah. Are you a Cincinnati guy? Do you like love the Reds and like do you go to Graders or?
Okay. Wait. Okay. The things that I still love.
Okay. Yeah. Because
I love my Frisch's Big Boy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Heaven.
Cool. Yeah.
Heaven. I love Skyline Chili. I have not yet.
Okay.
Skyline Chili.
Uh-huh.
And Grater's Ice Cream.
Yeah.
Okay, those three things, I'm a Cincinnatian.
Yeah, absolutely.
The rest, I don't know about.
Yeah.
But those three.
Because I'm thinking you were growing up, and if you graduated in 80, there was a big red
and
machine.
I love La Rosa's Pizza. I worked at La Rosa's for a while.
Oh, which one?
The one in White Oak.
Oh, really? On what road to Compton Road, right?
I guess.
Oh, no, White Oak would be Cheviot Road.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's.
Cheviot.
Yeah, yeah.
White Oak Shopping Center, right?
Yeah, I was a busboy there.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of a long drive from Dry Ridge, wasn't it?
No, like 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, so, but like the Big Red Machine and all that, you weren't interested in that? Wasn't really a thing.
Because
that was like big when you were in high school, right? I mean, that was.
But I never liked team sports. I would swim. I liked to run. I don't like team things.
Okay.
I like to either win or lose alone. I don't like the whole team effort. And if you do something great, it's rah-rah.
Yeah.
And if you screw it up, you're like, piece of shit. I don't like that.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, so I'm not a big – my parents have had Bengal season tickets probably for 100 million years since day one, since season tickets were invented.
Still?
Yeah, still.
I can't – I have a hard time. Ugh.
Well, I'm just – I don't –
it's not just the team.
No,
it's,
I know.
It's,
they
it's,
just
– the whole thing kind of
they
makes
stick
me mad,
to it.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole thing, but I just know that. But I'm no.
Well, I gotcha. Well, cool. Well, is there anything I didn't ask you wanted to say? I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff.
I don't think. No, I think it's good.
Good.
It was kind of fun. It's good. Like a flash. I don't know. It's like, whoa, it's a flashback.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I wanted. I think it's neat to be able to talk to somebody who is doing it out in the world and doing it well and come back to your little hometown and talk about like all the good stuff.
Cincinnati's not such a little hometown, though.
No?
I mean, Cincinnati's actually a cool city. It's a city.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of Cincinnati? As a person who's like into fashion and that, like, what do you think about all this cool stuff that's happening in downtown?
I think
that was a leading question.
No, but I do think the whole gentrification of downtown Cincinnati is pretty amazing. What's going on in Over the Rhine is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I think.
Hey, what do you do when you're in town?
Well, I usually am here for such short time. It's either like hanging out with my parents or going to dinner or seeing my family. So I don't do a lot. The thing that I would say is very disappointing, and since there is no great shopping in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And there's, like I was talking
with
earlier,
history,
like
too,
getting Jenny and Henry Harris, like fashion, and there is very little fashion that I see in Cincinnati, which that kind of makes me sad, knowing what used to be here.
Yeah, it's interesting because you may not know this, but we have a culinary school that opened about 14, 15 years ago.
Didn't know that.
And it's called the Midwest Culinary Institute. It's at Cincinnati State, which used to be Cincinnati State Technical College. It's now Cincinnati State. It's I may have added some 4-year programs, but I think it's mostly a 2-year program, junior college type thing. But the culinary school has gotten a lot of recognition, and that's why we have all these great restaurants popping up, like the one in the Metropole, which is right here in the 21C. I think they recruit from that, and these people are doing really amazing stuff. So you get like New York, LA, San Francisco kind of style restaurants here in Cincinnati because of that and the fashion, because of DAP. Because I always hear DAP's a good school.
It is. It's an excellent school.
So it could be.
But
like,
that's not – I don't think that's – I just don't think people – I can't really figure out the reason why. I think the way people dress has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. But I still can't figure out quite – because they really have – they went from the very high end of beautiful, exclusive, high fashion specialty stores to like – you can't buy a designer piece of clothing. Honestly, here in Cincinnati, except maybe one or two specialty stores. And
like Saks or
– tiny.
Uh-huh, or Nordstrom.
Tiny bit.
Yeah.
But again, it's like a whole different end from what was. So I don't know why women – or men. You know, they used to have a great store here called Dino's for men.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Dino's. Uh-huh. There were several other. And I just think cities change. I think Cincinnati is a very casual city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very different city than I think in general. It's a Midwest city. I don't think it ever was like a city that was about fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But I always still say I would like to see people –
dress better.
Step it up a notch.
I'll get rid of the taco socks.
Lovely.
Okay. David, thank you so much. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
It
was fun.
Meet you or re-meet you. I can't decide.
I know, right?
I mean, I saw you across the street. You had big kids driving your Mustang, and I was riding my little
puppy
bike.
In the swinger. Okay?
Oh, you're the swinger.
Let's get that straight. Okay. I didn't get the Mustang.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for doing this, and enjoy your stay here, and say hi to your mom and dad for me.
Thanks.
I'll tell Ricky and Tony you said hey, too.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
All right, thank you.
Let's go. C-I-N-C-I-N-N-T-I.
Yes, we are spelling it wrong on purpose. Everyone always spells Cincinnati wrong.
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-T-I.
This is down with the Bengals, run the bases like the Reds. Hit up U.S. Bank Arena, see the soccer bust them. As a show love with the Masters, see the Bearcats play the game. And we can all agree on one thing, be both to the Hall of Fame. Let's hit up Paul Brown, great American, fifth, third, nipper. And of course, the Gardens. And it is Friday night, where do we watch football? E-L-T-E-R, the piss of right car.
Thanks for checking out the show today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with David Meister. I had a tremendously fun time talking to him. He is a really good guy.
You can check him out at davidmeister.com. I don't think we got to say that on the show as well. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and leave us a rating so others can find out about the show. It really does help, believe it or not. So if you're enjoying the show, please do that so others can find it as well. And thanks again to B. Shields for allowing us to use his song Cincinnati in our show today. It's a great tune. Check it out. From Cincinnati is back next week with another exciting conversation with someone interesting, because everybody has a story, but not everyone is from Cincinnati.
You've been listening to From Cincinnati. We're online at FromCincinnati.com or at From Cincinnati on Twitter. Search for our page on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and other social media. Send in your guest ideas. We'd love to hear who you want to hear on the show. You can also email us through our website or call 513-549-NEWS or send us a message on social media. Please rate and subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts. Your ratings and reviews really do help others find the show. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or we have been told if you hook up the internet to your old Crossley radio, you can find From Cincinnati there. You can even ask your smart speaker to play From Cincinnati. I'm Joanne Lichtenstein, not from Cincinnati, but my sister used to live there. I'm in beautiful Burbank, California, and the voice of From Cincinnati. You can find me and my voiceover services at joevoices.com. From Cincinnati is a production of High Priority Partners, LLC, and is distributed through Loveland Local News. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Monday and every Monday for a new chat with someone new, because everybody has a story, but not everyone is from Cincinnati.